Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
At no great expense whatsoever, I put together a big celebrity head and shoulder quiz. If you spot yourself in it, you get a prize. But I just thought it might be kind of fun just for a few minutes. Some pictures are going to appear up here. Just shout out who you think these people are when they appear. So if we can start with the first one.
Messi.
Good man. He is a Messi. Next one. That's, are you sure? Which Hamilton? Excellent. Next one. Next one. You sure it's not the other one? Next one. Next one. Pastor Jonathan got that one straight away. Next one. He was a composer, wasn't he? Next one. Golf player. Well done. It's Phil Mickelson, isn't it? Next one. Notice the flag she's holding. Next one for the older generation. Put them up. Next one. Usain Bolt of Lightning. Just under 9.67. Good man. Next one. Who said Daley Thompson? Somebody over here. Well done, Ian. Next one.
Jonathan Dyke.
Oh! And I get a prize. Pastor Clive, thank you very much. Next one. And she shaves under her arms. It's good, isn't it? Next one.
Michael Schumacher.
Oh, yeah, it could be. He just run over somebody, probably. Tim Tebow, NFL player. Excellent. I don't think he's heard of you either, Charles, so it's all right. Next. You sure it's not Bugs Bunny? Next one. Should get this one. Everybody knows this. One for the younger people, unless you're a dad. Next one. Yeah, but which one? Well done. Next one. Actually, it's Harrison Ford, but... Next one. Chad, do not get this one. Who's this? Miss Potter. You get a prize. Next one. And who played him? You watch too much television. Next one. Everybody gets Kermit. This is me after a really lousy night before. Next one. Well done, Shad. Next one. No, I meant the frog at the beginning. Okay, doesn't matter. This one. I don't know who this next one is, but go to the next one. Timmy? It's not Timmy, is it? Mate! Can I have your autograph? Next one.
Hannah Montana.
What's she called now, Chad? What's her name now? Ask the front row or Sarah Cave. Next one. Pete Norman. Next one. Thank you. Anybody else know that was you too? Next one. This lot over here are on it. What's happening over here? And the last one. But which one?
70s.
How do you know it's the 70s? Oh, hello. Do you know the name of the fourth winning on the right?
J.P.R. Williams.
Thank you very much. Who said Phil Bennett? Charles, you're a legend. I wanted to be Phil Bennett. Part of me's Welsh. The leaky part is Welsh. I wanted to be like Phil Bennett and... behave, Tony. That's a good boy. My career, my passion, was to be just like him. Now, I don't know many of the other pictures evoke that kind of feeling in you. You want to be just like that person, just like the image, just like the celebrity, just like the personality that you think is behind all of the fame and the glam and the glitter. But I want to be like him. He was quick-witted, fast, stubborn. He was known for a great sidestep. I could get you all up and have a go if you like. I wanted to be like him, so I was really happy to go to a school that promoted this great game, the best game in the world, I think, rugby union. Not the other one when you get less people, or the one when you kiss each other when you score a goal, that kind of stuff. But this one here was my hero. We just celebrated a brilliant hero. And it's interesting, I wonder how many accolades and how many, much of the testimony that we had here we could have put to me or to this guy back in the 70s. When I was young, it was like my passion was to play like him, was to sidestep life, was to be quick-witted, to just be the quickest, the fastest, the strongest. I was having a chat with Max, who plays the trumpet this morning, brilliant. And he was saying about, you know, what was it like to be a Christian? I said, mate, it was brilliant. I can't remember being 18. I can't remember being 21. I remember having parties, but I can't remember what they're like because I was just out there. I can't remember ever wanting to come to church when I was the age of these guys, other than to come and do something to it. If you know what I mean. Chuck stuff, take stuff, be stuff, spray stuff. That was my teenage years. I loved the game. I wanted to play the game. I was actually pretty good at it. I had trials for London Welsh. Hello there, Boyle. Ba-da-da. That's it. I don't know any more Welsh. Other than give me the ball or I'll rip your head off. That was the Welsh that I knew then. And at the age of 15, which is, you know, older than a few of you, younger than most of you, I broke my back playing rugby. Everybody go, excellent. If you haven't got your own teeth, be careful because you swallow them. But I broke my back when I was 15 in a mall, M-A-U-L, but it was a bit like a rough and tumble, but with permission. And I broke two vertebrae, number 3 and 4, which is at lower back of the spine here. And that kind of stopped my career a little bit. But, you know, God's kind of good. I didn't know Jesus then. I didn't know God loved me then. I didn't know anything really. I just wanted to be the fastest, the fittest, the quickest, the strongest. I wanted to rip people's heads off all the time. And I built up a lifestyle around that. It's interesting how when you see an image of something, you attach the lifestyle to something and try and live it. Well, I tried to live it. When I was 15, off my feet for about a year, met Jimmy Savile, which could be a good thing, maybe not, depends on you. Slant. Loads of surgery, screws. If anybody's medically aware, I had a what's called a Bux fusion, which is where they join bits of your back together to stop it moving. Cool, sounds painful. I wasn't aware of it. I was asleep at the time, as you understand. But I just found actually, you know, my career, okay, it's taken a bit of a diversion, but I just still wanted to be the best, the quickest, the fastest, so I lived like that. I only managed to get any O-levels because I lived so far away from the school. Swatting up on the bus the day before, the morning before. If I'd have lived next door, I'd have got no O-levels at all. Because my whole career was on the pitch, it was on the field, it was running, it was practicing, it was trying to live his life. I was trying to be him. But without the shirt and without the pay, he played a great game back in the 70s, Barbarians beat the All Blacks. That doesn't happen very often. Charles was there. Charles was the All Blacks all on his own. He's a huge guy. But everything that I wanted to do, I was trying to live another man's image. Drinking, sex, drugs and rock and roll. I didn't do much rock and roll. But that's the kind of living that I had. That's all I kind of knew. And that was it for me. You know, my career had taken a bit of a back, so I pursued it a bit further, And through all kinds of circumstances, I met a brilliant... I don't want to embarrass my wife. She's sat on the front, and I will have to answer for every word now, okay? But I remember the very, very first time I caught eyes on my wife, I went into one door of a room, she left out the other one. It's true, isn't it? She's giggling, she's embarrassed. Why? Because I got such a reputation for being a pain in the neck, for being rude, for being abusive, for being just a selfish, selfish young person. Why? Because I wanted to live in that image. Live for me, live for nobody else. I couldn't give a rip about anybody else. I used to get involved in all kinds of different things, which I won't bore you with the details, but man, you could probably get a custodial for them now. Because that's how I lived. It was for me. Me, 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 me. At the age of 25, and this is where I just, looking at the guys up here this morning, it's like, you know, I've only known Jesus for half my life. I wish I'd have known him for all of it. I've only known Jesus for just 25 years. I wish I'd have done it sooner, but I was just stupid. I was living the image that I thought I was supposed to live. And I lived it fast, and I lived it quick. 1985, guess what? Another spinal injury, massive breakdown. Everything just fell to pieces. Only this time, because of the age, you know, I was a bit older, and you know, everything was kind of a bit more whatever. I was laid up for months and months and months, and this time I had spondylolisthesis. There's a word to say. I'm not going to say it again. And with this one, they did operate it on me, which is called a laminectomy, where they scrape bone off the lamina, the upper pelvic area, and then they wedge your spine up against your hip. Cool, don't try it at home, folks. And that was the end, as far as I was concerned. I was living for that image, but I could never have it. I was living to be like that, but I could never be that person. In fact, it took me years just to watch a game of rugby again. It was me. It was everything that made me tick, everything that made me do everything. And the lifestyle of the image was my lifestyle. And suddenly it had broken. It's like having your favourite picture of somebody. You love it. You kind of want to go there. You want to be that person. Suddenly it's broken. And that was how my life was. Then April the 17th, 1986, after weeks and weeks and weeks of really being annoyed, my wife used to wind me up coming back from church on a Sunday. Why are you so happy? Get a grip. It's all a load of this. It's all a load of that. She used to come out and she used to annoy me. And she knew that she did, which is why she was very wise and didn't say a lot. My fuse was like, it only started F and then it went bang. I used to get annoyed, frustrated. If this was it, if my life was now this, what's the point? What is the point? And I began to question her, Janet, my wife. I began to question her friends, who were all kind of happy Christian people. It's like they used to annoy me. Come on, get a grip, get a life. This is what life's about. What you're all talking to me about? What's that got to do with me? And suddenly, I even began to question my own kind of sanity, my own existence. It's like, well, why am I here then? If I can't be that person, who am I supposed to be? And I remember on a Saturday morning, April 17th, 1986, I had a phone call from our local minister. And I've only had one previous conversation with him. It was really short, and it had a load of offs in it from me. Came and banged on the door one morning, the birth of our youngest daughter. Can I see Janet? No, you blank, 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 blank can't. Bye-bye. Woohoo! For me, church was irrelevant. Christians were annoying. God was a figure of imagination. That's who I wanted to be. And this guy, he phoned up and he said, I understand you've been asking some questions of my parishioners. Ooh, hello. Would you like to come and ask me? Absolutely. Because if I can come down and convince you that I'm right, then everything that you stood for is wrong. Because my image, although broken, was still the only one I had. Live fast, do everything flat out. I was accruing loads of debt. We were suffering. I don't know. My wife is too gracious to say, but I was a really rubbish husband for the first few years of our marriage. Not a particularly good dad either. not very good at anything other than doing things fast and flat out. And because of the condition I was in at this time, it took me over 1 hour to walk probably from here, I would say, down to the Carfax. The whole nerve had gone down this side and walking was really hard and everything, just nothing just worked properly. And as I began to do this journey, I'd already kind of practiced the shout that I was going to have. I practiced the moan that I was going to do. I'd rehearsed all of the argument that I was going to get into. And as I started to go down this journey, and it was quite a nice day like this one, things just began to unravel a bit in my head. By the time I got to the door of his rectory, there was only one question I wanted to ask, and that was, if Jesus is real, can I know him? I'd had a list. Why has this happened? Why has that happened? Why is this like this? Why is that like that? Why can't I be who I want to be? Oh, yeah. And when I knocked on his door and he answered it and said, oh, hi, how you doing? I said, if Jesus is real, can I know him? And he said, yes, of course you can know him. I went straight from his front door, turned left into his study. Loads of books. A million books. No, get me out of here. Study? What's that? And after, I don't know, maybe 1 hour, maybe an hour and a half of crying, seemingly just pouring out one issue, another issue, another. I don't even remember this guy saying a lot, he was just there. I can remember hearing all kinds of stuff coming out, and what I was describing was me. This was me. It wasn't him. It wasn't any of these other celebrities. It wasn't any of these other perceptions. It was me. And I was horrible. I didn't like the person I described. But in the same moment, I knew that somebody in that room, and it wasn't me and it wasn't him, did. And his name was Jesus. And I heard very audibly, and I'm not a nutcase, okay, I've got a degree in engineering. Check me out. I heard a voice say, do you really want to know me? It was like someone was reading my mind. And I said, yes, Jesus, I do want to know you. And in that moment, I was filled completely with just a sense of well-being. It's the only way I can describe it. Of a massive sense of heat, of just freedom coming through my entire body. To such a degree that from someone who had had by then 8-9 years of severe back trauma, disappointment trauma, life trauma, marriage trauma, workplace trauma, just living trauma, suddenly I was free on the inside. And I ran home. I'll just say that one again because some people, I ran home. Now I was a quick runner, okay? I was a pacey boy. I was trying to be like him. I wasn't this guy, Usain Bolt. All right? But I was quick and it took me 3 minutes to run home. Suddenly, everything made sense. I didn't know what it happened. I didn't know about church. I didn't know about Jesus, other than the one that had just revealed himself to me. The only thing that my experience of church was in the way that I described. Suddenly, it was like, I love Jesus, and I don't know who he is. I just love him because he loves me. I just love him because he's done something in my life. Look at me. Medically, right. Oh, look, I should have been able to do that. Before I was a Christian, remember, 3 vertebrae fused together, locked. Da, da. You would have, come on, this is Jesus the healer. He's the restorer. I realized in that moment of time, Jesus didn't just heal my body, he healed me. I realized at that time, Jesus just didn't just heal the rotten husband, he healed me. He didn't just heal the dad that wasn't much cop, he healed me. He didn't just heal the person that at any excuse dropped tools, he healed me. He didn't just heal the person that just lived recklessly, he healed me. Man, I don't know what happened. I went back to work and the only language that I knew, I couldn't use now. Every person that I was responsible for in the workplace only responded when I said, off! And suddenly, I had to use a different language. It's like, where is that coming from? And I went to church. For me, it was a freaky thing. I thought church was what put me off God. Before I found Jesus, that would be true. Maybe for you, you go to church. Maybe for you, you live near a church. Maybe you think it's just those bits of stone with a tower on it. Or maybe it's just that funny shaped building with a name on it. But I had an experience of knowing the one who died for the church, loves the church and builds the church. And it's not a building, it's a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. So on that Sunday, I went to church and suddenly felt part of something bigger than me. I felt as if my image had now changed totally from trying to be that to just be me. I realised that as I read the Bible, and for me that was an interesting experience, it's a Bible, it's like a workbook. I just read it like I do my engineering, theology stuff, and I read it from front to back, and right at the beginning, up near where the maps are, and I used to get fascinated by the maps. And the index, I found the first book of the Bible, it says Genesis, and it says there right at the beginning, it says, I've made you in my image. And I read that word and thought, I've been living under this wrong image for 25 years. The image that you want me to live in is how you've made me. It's me. Me. But it's not me trying to make it happen. It's me living with you to make it happen. And so I began to go through the Bible, all these words. It's like, what does that mean? What does this mean? I still had loads of questions, but suddenly I knew the bottom line answer was, it's Jesus. I had loads of concerns. I was kind of making mistakes still, but I just felt at peace, well-being. On the Monday morning, I was supposed to have another physio lesson. I was having those physio session. And I phoned up and said, I don't think I need to come today. They said, well, why is that? And I said, well, on Saturday, I became a Christian. I didn't know you're not supposed to do that. But actually, you are. And it all went quiet on the phone. I thought he's either died, or we've been cut off, or he's making some kind of face. He said, Mr. Dyke, you need to come because this, and this, all the medical stuff. So I went to the physio and ran round the circuit that took me ages to do. Lifted up the big shiny ball thing that it took me, like I couldn't lift up before. And I said, well, there's nothing wrong with you. I said, well, I know. I told you that. I used to go to airport machines and set the x-ray machine off. But not anymore. Because Jesus has totally healed me in my heart. He's totally healed me in my body. He's totally healed me in my head. You see, you and I are only here to live for Jesus. To reflect Jesus. As I found another bit in the Bible, I loved it, and I just checked it this morning. Another book of the Bible. There's loads of books in the Bible. It was like, this is brilliant. It says, we've all been made. When the veil is taken off, when the thing that covers our eyes, when the things that we look at life through the filters of, when things that we just perceive and we just assume, when we take those away, we see Jesus for who he is. And I realized that the only way that I was going to get a right image was when I saw him in the right way. And as I looked at Jesus on that Saturday, April the 17th, 1986, suddenly I realised that Jesus not only lived for me, he died for me. And not only did he die for me, he took me with him. And it's like, well, how does that work? I really don't know, but I just knew that I needed to trust that it had. And it says that Jesus not only died for me, he also came back to life for me. Well, how does that work? Jesus says, just trust me, believe in me. Look at me. And believe in me. And I did. And suddenly I found that on that weekend I'd come through the same experience. The old 25-year-old who was reckless, selfish, who just lived for himself, trying to be somebody he can never be, had died. That was 25 years ago. 26 years ago nearly. Last 26 years have been a total transformation. Not only have I experienced the healing power of Jesus, because he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same tomorrow, But I've also seen Jesus heal many hundreds of people, thousands of people possibly, of all kinds of conditions. Every condition that you may have or your friends may have, Jesus has paid the price to bring healing for those. Everything from a bad tooth to cancer, Jesus has provided the payment for that. You won't find it in Bupa, you won't find it on NHS, you only find it through the understanding that Jesus did it for me. But also in a whole relational level, as I found actually, I'm really only ever going to be me when I live with others and live for others. And then suddenly not only did my image of Jesus change and therefore mine, but also my image of what his church was changed. Again, just to kind of echo what Liz was saying a while ago, I've just been so gutted this last week seeing people who live now how I lived, because they see themselves as I did. Maybe they've had a tough time, maybe they think they've had a bit of a duff hand dealt at cards. Maybe stuff's just happened that they have no control over, but whatever's happened, it's happened. And people live in it. You're living in it. I'm living in it. Well, I just want to let you know, you may know Jesus already, you may not. Whether you do or not, he died for you, that you can live for him. He is our image maker. He is our restorer. He is the correct mirror to look in as we're going through life. It's actually, that's how I've been made. I've been made to know Jesus. I've been made to live for him, and he wants to come and live in my life. Change it. Use it. Man, I used to run away from every Christian. I used to run away from every church thing. But now I'm part of that. Part of a massive, worldwide, universal picture. Bigger than this picture. In fact, the picture of the church that I'm part of, because I know Christ and you are if you know Christ, you can never get all the faces on any screen in this room. Because the Church of Christ is massive. It has millions of people in it. All different colours, creeds, backgrounds. The one thing that puts them in common is not the fact they've all got a red shirt. It's the fact that they've all been saved. They've given their lives to Jesus and they've received Jesus' life themselves. Yeah, it's kind of a red shirt because Jesus had to give blood to change that. And I realised when I became a Christian, my shirt was red like that. And it's today. It might look kind of stripy. I'm the only one that's in stripes. It's probably an age thing. I don't know. Check them out. That was a joke, wasn't it? That was funny. Do you like that? Excellent. But I just realised that my shirt is always red. My coat is always red. My t-shirt is always red because of the precious blood of Jesus, which he willingly gave for me and for you so that we could be whole. I just love Jesus. Anybody here love Jesus? It may be that you don't know this Jesus. To you, he might have been like he was to me, just a word to swear at someone with. Maybe he's just a figment of history. Maybe he's just an irrelevant maniac. Maybe he's just a religious figure to you. I don't know what he is to you. All I know is for me, my image of Jesus came out of my image of me. I didn't need him. Nothing relevant, nothing contemporary, nothing that I needed to get involved with whatsoever. And suddenly I realised I was totally wrong. You and I were made, the Bible says, to know Jesus. If you're alive, and if you're not, you soon will be. But if you're alive right now, the key reason, the main reason why you're sucking in oxygen and pumping out CO2 and making it a nice sunny day is because you need to have a relationship with Jesus. It's the only reason why man was made, was so that we could walk with God, listen to God, talk to Jesus. So I don't know if there's anybody here this morning. Maybe you've come to church a few times, maybe into other churches, maybe you've just known people that are Christians like I did. And maybe they kind of cause you to argue and kind of have a chat with them because you want to prove that you're right. Well, I thought like that until I realised actually I'm wrong. The only one that's right is God. God told me I needed a saviour. God told me I needed to change. God told me I needed to give my life to Jesus. It took me a while to get there, but when I did it, I can tell you it's true. That's how you find what life is really about. So there might be some people here today, maybe some of the younger guys, you love these images, you love these people on here. But God doesn't want you to be like them. He doesn't want you to live the kind of life that you think they have, or he wants you to be who you are in Jesus. He wants you to be everything that you can be because Jesus made you to be everything that you can be. But we can't do it without him. So I just want everybody to stand. I hope you don't mind me sharing a bit of story. The only reason why I tell the story is not because it's me, it's because Jesus hasn't changed. He's exactly the same now as he's always been. He's alive. He's powerful. He loves people. He loves to change them. He loves to touch their lives. He loves to heal them. Hey, Chad. Come out with your lovely Union Jack shirt, mate. Come on. Yeah, come on, Chad. Come and join me because you make me look good. There might be some people here. You've come with a friend. Let me tell you something. I thought I had friends. I can't remember half of them. Because we just did stuff together which I want to forget. But there's only one friend that you need. And it may not be the person that you came with this morning. But he must be the person that you leave with this morning. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Who gave his life for you and for me. Gives his life today for you and for me. In the next minute, there's going to be an exchange of life. If you don't know this Jesus personally, you've never received him into your own heart. Said, Jesus, I'm going to give you my life. If you haven't done that, if you haven't received the life of Jesus and realize actually I'm just different, I'm changed. If you haven't had the opportunity to do that, make this your opportunity to do that. If you haven't received the energy that Jesus brings, his power, the power to know God, the power to know what he's like and to hear his voice and to understand what he wants to do and give you the power to do what he wants you to do in the everyday of life. If you haven't received him in that way, this morning is your morning. Don't leave without the friend called Jesus this morning. Don't leave without a right image of who you are. To do that, you need to know who he is. So let's just close our eyes. It all goes dark. It's normal. Don't worry. But if you kind of feel a little bit like, I'm not quite sure, I don't know about this. I'm not sure about everything that I've heard. That's the beginning. It's the same beginning as I had. I ask questions. Bible says that everybody that asks receives. And to you, it might just be a questioning process, but to God, it is actually, come on, just a bit further, and you'll find me. So maybe this morning, you're just coming through the stuff that you heard, maybe the whole of the morning together as we've been seeing, and we've been seeing stuff that's happening out in the street. It's like, I'm not sure about this Jesus, but there must be something in it. If that's you, then I want to introduce you to Jesus for your personal friend this morning. You can have your life changed this morning, transformed. Never to be the same again. And if that's you, I'm just going to ask you in a moment just to pop your hand up because I'd love to pray for you. Praying for me now is just I'm having a conversation with the heart of God. And I'm just speaking out what he's telling me. It's nothing spooky. It just comes out of a relationship with Jesus. So if you're in the room this morning and you don't know Jesus personally, but you really, really want to, then I'd love you just to quickly raise your hand so I can see it. I'm only going to give you about 30 seconds because we want to move on because God wants to do some other stuff. Jesus wants to heal some people here this morning. So I'm just going to ask you a couple of times. So if it's you, just raise your hand quickly so I can see you. Thank you, Jesus. Again, your heart might be going a bit quicker. Your ribcage is going in and about a little bit. The breathing's changing a little bit. Then that's God speaking to you. God's on you right now. I'm just asking for the second time. Is there anybody here who wants to give their life to Jesus? Thank you. I see that young man over there. Bless you. Just going to ask one more time to give you guys that are just waiting to see for somebody else. Somebody else has said, yeah, I want to know more about Jesus. Now it's your turn. This is the last time I'm going to ask anybody who just want to give their life to Jesus right now. Just find out, yeah, I want to know more about you. Just put your hand up quickly. Bless you. Now I know Jesus wants to heal people this morning. Why? Because he wants to heal people every morning. If you have pain in your spine anywhere, bottom or top, anywhere, and you've had it for any length of time, Jesus wants to set you free today. Whether it's just you trapped a nerve, whether it's because you twisted it, whether it's because you've got some medical condition or whatever it is, Jesus wants to heal you today. Why? Because it represents your backbone. It represents your stake in the ground of your life. It keeps your head up. It keeps your shoulders back. That's why I believe my back went so much, because my image was all in my head. As soon as my back was damaged, I was walking around like this. I physically grew when I became a Christian. Come on! How cool is that? So if you're in this room now and you're standing up and already it's really uncomfortable, oh, me back. Jesus wants to heal you right now. Just come out the front right now. You've got about 20 seconds. Just come out the front. Jesus wants to set you free this morning. He wants to touch you somehow. He wants to restore you. Those ligaments, those tendons, those vertebrae, those muscles. Let me tell you, Jesus designed your body. Bible says he knew us inside out. He designed what you look like. He can reposition, replace, release. He is our relief. He is our relief this morning. Again, with every eye closed, this is exciting. People are responding, not to me, because Jesus is here. I don't want to embarrass anybody. We're just going to have to... If you're a bloke and you're married, okay, and you've been identifying a little bit with some of what I've been saying, just kind of how as a bloke, you've just been living for an image of a superstar that you never need to be. Or the image of that celebrity that you never have to live like. If you've just been living it hard, all right? I want you to come out as well. Nobody's looking at you, but man, if Jesus just wants to touch your life as well this morning. I was living like that, living for myself. Come on, nobody's going to think anything less of you. Come on, be a bloke. Do what I have to do, which is, God, I'm sorry. I mucked this up. Please help me. I've had to do that loads of times since I became a Christian. If there's two or three blokes here, it's like, actually, I can kind of identify a little bit with some of that. Jesus wants to speak to you right now. Just come out and join us. That's it. Come on, guys. Hallelujah. Are you guys that have come out the front already? Something is happening with you. Why? Because the Bible says, when you respond to me, I respond to you. So you've taken a few steps, he's taken a few steps. That's how it works. Right now, the power, the healing personality of Jesus is moving on you right now, right where you're standing. You can just talk to him. Just use your own words, your own language. Just talk to him. Just tell him, Jesus, I'm believing you right now. Look at Jesus. Look at the image of the healer. Look at the image of the restorer. Look at the image of the one who came and took all our pain, all our infirmity. Look at the image of Jesus, who his body was broken, given, so that we could be whole. Just look at him right now. Father, I want to thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you took every infirmity and you broke its power. I want to thank you that you took every spirit of sickness and you broke its power. I want to thank you that your blood has purchased healing for us. Your blood has purchased life for us. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I loose every person here into your healing power and grace. I loose them into the freedom of the Holy Spirit. I come against every area of inflammation. I curse you right now. Every trapped nerve, I break your power right now in the name of Jesus. I say be loosed. Vertebrae, be free. Spinal column, be free. Come into straightness. There's a curvature. God is straightening that curvature. It's called a really complicated name. I can't remember it. I don't care. The curved spine. Jesus is restoring your spine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let Jesus' hand come upon you. Nobody in this room is going to come and lay hands on you, because Jesus says, no, I'm the healer. As you receive, just thank him. Just begin to thank him. You can feel something's happening. Something's just changing. For some of you, something's just been moved around. It's been manipulated. I went to a very, very famous England under-21s rugby physiotherapist for years. His name was Don Gatherer. I'll tell you what, Jesus is a better physiotherapist than he ever was. David, I love you, but man, the Holy Spirit knows how to put his hands on you and move stuff around. Hallelujah. Let's just lift up our hands over the building here. Let's just lift up our hands and just... What is this song? It sounds kind of familiar. Jesus, Friend Forever. That's a good song. We got some words for this? Hope so. Those of you that are at the front, we're going to begin to engage with a song. And as we sing Jesus, Friend Forever, I believe his friendship is going to be reinforced. You're going to leave different, change, your head held up. Hallelujah. You're going to be free. I want some of you in a minute just to try out some area of movement in the upper spine, lower spine. Wherever it was difficult before, just move it around a little bit. Check it out. Come on, Jesus is healing people all over the room right now. Just move it a little bit. Come on, expect freedom. Don't expect restriction. Don't expect the pain. Don't expect the discomfort, but expect the healing power of Jesus right now. That's it, move it around. God can see a few of you. It's great, isn't it? Oh, hello. Oh, this is good. Jesus, 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 Friend Forever. Let's sing this one together, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.